Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
And again, just quick introduction as people are signing on. I'm Jeff Behrens. I'm over one of the leaders over at Newfield location. So if you're not over at Newfield, that's who I am and why you don't see me in EHT. But thanks for joining us today. Nice Tuesday morning. But we have a great passage here for us. And I'll be trying to end us at 6:30, as close as possible. So I know we all got work and our days ahead of us. So, all right, I think we're all set to get started. So if you want to read along with me, Matthew chapter 6. Here we go. All right. Again, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is halfway right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount here. Watch out. And everybody can hear me good, right? Thumbs up, my sound and everything. would have been a fail if I went through a half hour and nobody could hear me. All right. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask Him. So pray like this: Our Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Don't store up treasures on earth, where moth eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, the whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all the needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Whew. All right, let's open in a word of prayer and look at a few points here. Father God, we just want to thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness and you know, shining your face upon us, Lord. For you know, we are not worthy of it, but you deem us worthy by your grace, by your love, and we thank you for that. Thank you for giving us the strength and breath today to wake up and to experience a new day, as today's a gift from you. And thank you for putting your spirit in us and guiding us to have the strength and the ability to put you first in our day, that we wake up and we're prioritizing you. And because of that, as we are a type of a way of seeking your kingdom first. And as you just said right here, seek first the kingdom, right? And you will take care of our needs. You provide everything we need. So as we put you first and we seek your kingdom, Lord, and we try to put into practice your teachings and to follow after you, that help us to set aside the worry that we often fill ourselves with. Help us to point our eyes at the light, at you, so that we be filled with light, and that we can go through our day without anxiety and without worry, and that we can just focus on today, and today is sufficient enough to worry about today, and to know that you have tomorrow, just like you have today, just like you have us, Lord. So let us rest in you. Allow your spirit to stir in us, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and to speak to us and to give us conviction and correction where we need conviction and correction. Give us encouragement where we need encouragement. So speak to us, be with us, invite us. And I know it says where two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst of us. And even though we're not in a physical location, I don't think that matters to you, right? We're all gathered here. So join us and be with us, and you can be with us all at the same time as you're omnipresent and your spirit moves and lives within us and is working around us. So thank you for that, Lord. And just help us to again, understand and have ears to hear. We love you, Jesus. Amen. All right. So a few points here. First thing I want to just highlight, right? When I read, I like to find a theme rather than trying to, what's this particular verse say? This particular verse say, you know, a lot of times we say a lot of words to, you know, to make a small point. So, you know, the first thing as I see was I read verses 1 through 18. There's this theme, even though he talks about giving and he talks about praying and he talks about fasting in those first 18 verses, the theme of it is doing it privately, right? So his focus right now is on the private life, the individual life of a believer. And he says, given the contrast of the the Pharisees and people who do things for out in public who give for show. So we have a contrast here in how we should live. So he says, when we give, right, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You know, as we are the body of Christ, and I may be a left hand, you may be a right hand, a left foot, right foot, whatever we are. As if you're the left hand, and as you are given generously, you know, you go out and you help someone today, and you give some money to a homeless person. You don't need to go broadcast that or take a selfie. You see these videos now on social media. They're recording themselves helping homeless people, and they're looking for accolades and likes. Well, Jesus said they have their reward. That's their reward. They're not gaining anything for heaven by doing that. But when you give, right, you're not giving out of the motivation to get an applause. Now that also doesn't mean that if you give, you have to be fearful. I don't want nobody to know, because if they see me giving or someone finds out, God's going to take away my reward. It's yeah, as we know about Jesus, it's often more about the heart and the motivation of what we're doing, and the motive. So if we're given as unto the Lord, not unto, hey guys, look at me, or I don't need affirming because I'm getting my affirmation from the Lord. I'm doing unto the Lord. And he goes right on to praying, right? The same concept in prayer. Don't be like the hypocrites who pray in the street, or the Gentiles who are just repetitively, praying. But he's like, go in the secret closet, go at home, shut your door when no one's around, and cry out to God, pray to God, pray in secret, and the Lord who sees in secret will reward openly. And then again with fasting, right? When you fast, wash your face, comb your hair. Well, if you have hair, right? Comb your hair, make it look like people aren't going to look at you and say, why is this guy so miserable? And you're like, oh, I'm fasting. I've been fasting for 10 hours. I'm so hungry. But why are you fast? Oh, you know, I'm fasting for spiritual needs. Like we do that because we want people, you know, we want that empathy and that compassion, or even people to think, wow, that guy's, you know, that person's fasting. They must be very, you know, spiritual. But Jesus would say, no, when you fast, do it in secret, right? Like you're doing it for me and us in our relationship. You shouldn't need to seek that encouragement or affirmation or even those accolades from other people, right? So fast, and keep it secret, right? Again, it doesn't mean if you're fasting and you're a good friend and you're having accountability, or there may be certain times where, you know, it's just, you know, you're married, you have a spouse, whatever. It doesn't mean if someone finds out, God, nope. Sorry, it's not secret no more. Again, it's the motivation of our heart. Why are we fasting? And I also want to emphasize real quick what he's not saying. He doesn't mean there's also never a time for communal, right, fasting as a community, because there's times we need to, whether it's a marriage couple, we need to come together and fast together, a family, a church family, a people group, that we would cry out and fast together, which our church often does, right? That's just because he says it here, talking about that your individual heart motive. It doesn't mean that there aren't times and places where we come together and we fast together. It doesn't mean there's not times we come together and we pray out loud together. Also, there's times we need to pray publicly. You're praying for somebody, right? You're not. Because, hey, I want to pray for you. Come in my closet. That would be a little weird, right? So there's times we pray, and also there's times we give as a community as well. So, not every instance means I have to live this secret life of giving, praying, and fasting. But there should be an aspect of our life where these things that we're doing, they are secret. I don't need to showcase them. Like it's just between me and God. And if I truly, sincerely believe that God is there, right? If my faith is in Him and I'm doing it for Him, that should be enough anyway, right? So it is a reflection and test of our faith. why we do these things. All right. So, yeah, moving on from that, we have it comes in now to the next one. He's right. Don't store your treasures up here on earth, where moth eats them, rust destroys them, and where thieves break in. For wherever your treasure is, or seek your store your treasures in heaven. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. In other words, I like this one, right? It says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. You can kind of word it like this. In other words, oftentimes we have trouble identifying our own desires, even right, our own motivations. So instead of looking at other people and saying, oh, look where they're putting their money and their resources, and that's where their desires are, like we're to look inward. Right, this whole Sermon on the Mount is for us to reflect inward. So if we have trouble identifying our desires, as I often do, where am I putting my resources? Where am I putting my time, my energy, and my treasures in life? And that's going to help me identify my desires, so that as I find my desires, that I may have to repent of, right? Like, search me, O Lord, right? Help me search myself, but search me, O Lord. Reveal the sin in me. Reveal these misplaced desires and these selfish desires that I have, the desires of my kingdom and my will, and help me repent, right? So looking at my own life and where, right? If I'm honest, I know my treasures, right? I know the things I want to hold on to, right? They're my treasure to me, because they're tied to my heart's desire. So we need to help, use that and analyze our own lives. Where am I putting my time and resources? What are the treasures of my life? Because that's where my desires are, and I have to be, I may have to repent of where some of my desires are. Right. Next one, right? Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. I love this passage right here. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but you could write a whole sermon on this. You can create a whole ministry on this. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, the whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. I mean, this is one of the most clearly relevant verses for today. I mean, we have our screens, our phones, our eyes are constantly being filled. Now, some context is it's not just physical eye, but where are we gazing our desires? Our desires are pointing our eyes, right? So, seek the kingdom, look at the kingdom, look at Jesus, look towards God. Then your body will be filled, right? And we look to the world, right? We're looking at darkness. We're going to be filled with darkness. So where are we putting our focus? Not just our physical eyes, but our focus. However, I think there's a lot of truth and points also behind our physical eyes, with lust and staring at people and looking at people, and even again our social media, our Facebook, the darkness that is going into our eyes, that's filling our body. I mean, I just can't help think, no wonder we're so messed up today. Like, how much darkness we are taking in, how much shows that we watch that have darkness, that we're being entertained by darkness, and it's filling us from the inside out. And it's also, we have to start asking ourselves, is it possible I'm anxious because of all the darkness I'm letting in? Right? All the darkness and evil that I'm constantly filtering through my eyes. He says right here, but when your eye is unhealthy, the whole body is filled with darkness. Yet here's even what's worse. And if you think the light you have is actually darkness, how deep that dark is. That means the deception. Like, how many people are filling their eyes and their heart and their mind with darkness, and they don't even realize it. They're deceived, or especially when they think it's light. oh, this ain't a bad thing, or this is a good thing to watch. I need to be current with the times, or whatever it would be. There's just some sort of denial or deception or justification of why they allow their gaze to be set on this darkness, and they're taking it as they think it's light. And he says, how deep that darkness is. And if you've ever been through any kind of, like Celebrate Recovery program or anything like that, like, I mean, one of the first ones is denial, right? Dealing with denial is one of the first principles, the first steps. So he's talking about denial here that we see. But yeah, we need to be accountable for what we look at. Oftentimes we think lust, envy, jealousy, all these things are based on our gaze. And if we go all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? They looked, right? They were gazing at that tree and they saw that it was good. Like they saw the fruit and that it was good. Like they shouldn't be even looking over there, right? They were looking and gazing, and their desire was fixed on that before they took. There's a lot of other passages and references on that concept of where we're looking, right? So that's also too what it means. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You want to be changed, you want to be more like Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus. Look into his word. Look to good things, right? Keep your eyes on Jesus. And we have to really be careful in today's world how easy it is for darkness to just enter our eyes. And be careful with the news. The news is filled with darkness. You don't need to constantly keep allowing that darkness to infiltrate our body and our mind. We have to be very careful and not to be desensitized and filled with fear. It's often what we allow in that creates us. So, I mean, it's just before I move on, it's definitely a pandemic, I would call it, right? Like how much darkness we even as believers are getting in through our eyes, even me, and I get that conviction of I need to be careful and more careful of what I put into my eyes. And I'm getting to a place now, there's certain things I don't even want to entertain to look at because I know the potential anxiety and struggles it could cause into me. People are like, check this video. I'm like, nope, I don't want to see it. Once I see it, it's too late. Please. And it's not out of a place of you don't want it to be a place out of legalism. I'm not allowed to look at that, right? Like, or even a self-righteousness to say I'm better than that, but out of a place of humility to know I need to protect myself. Like these things influence me. So I need to be very careful where I keep my gaze. I need to look away when I need to look away. I need to shut my screen off when I need to shut my screen off. I need to fight against that pull to look to those unhealthy things. But again, like I said, we can create a whole ministry on this. But I just wanted to hit that point there, and then move on to get through this. All right, moving on. It goes right here. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Obviously, he's speaking to a lot of poor people here. And a lot of people that, may not even have money to buy food for tomorrow and to replace their worn clothes. And he's encouraging them. But I think it still just relates to us in America just as much. Even though we have full fridges and our closets are probably overflowing with clothes, whether they fit or don't fit anymore, but we just having an abundance of things here in America. Even lower income, like if you think about poor people in America, they're so much richer than the majority of the world. Yet we still here in America worry about these things constantly. What are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? It's just a constant stress and worry in our lives. Man, and how much energy we spend worrying about food and clothes if we really sit back and are honest about it. I know I try to pride myself in not caring what I look like so much and not caring of how I dress, but even still, I still spend a lot of time worrying about it. I fight against it, but it's still, what am I going to wear today? I need to find a shirt. I need this. I need that. And then even with the food, right? My fridge is filled, and I'm still like, ooh, what better food? What can I have? I want to eat this for dinner. I want to go here. I want that, and it's just constant. And Jesus said, isn't life more than that? Like, aren't you more, isn't your body more than food and being clothed? Stop worrying about that stuff. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy certain things and you can't dress up time to time, but if it's causing stress and worry and you're spending hours a day getting dressed and picking out your clothes, like life's a little bit more than that, right? Shorten that time down to 15 minutes and take that 45 minutes and spend time with Jesus, right? Dress, put the armor of God on rather than our physical armor, right? Like the shift of we spend so much emphasis and stress and worry on the physical and we're neglecting the spiritual, right? So we got that flipped around. And he continues to give us encouragement on this, right? So he says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And God, if God cares so wonderfully about that, right, those wildflowers who are thrown here today, thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs, right? Like these thoughts dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, and it convicts me because oftentimes those thoughts can dominate, they can dominate my thoughts as well. And I'm a believer. Like, where's my faith and my trust? Where's my perspective? Where's my priority at? What am I really living for here? Am I living for me and my kingdom, right? Or am I living for God's kingdom? If God's will and his kingdom is for me to wear something different, something less than, or to eat something more bland, that's okay. It's meeting my needs. Like, he's going to sustain me. He's going to give me what I need, but not necessarily what I want, right? So they get that switch of what do I want versus what do I need, right? Do I need to look this good, or do I just need to be clothed and comfortable, right? Then obviously we have jobs and we got to be certain work attire, you got to be presentable at different areas, and that's okay. But do we have to go the extra extreme? Do we have to indulge in the extra food, or to say, I could have that grilled chicken, but man, that filet mignon and this and that, the extra things, so again, the whole theme here, again, pointing at our desires, our emphasis, where is our heart directed at? Is it all, just like the theme in church, is it our kingdom, our will, our desires, or is it more focused on the Lord's desires, the Lord's will, the Lord's kingdom? And then he goes right into that theme, right? So he says, right here at the end, he says, so, right, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Right? Above all things, seek first the kingdom of God. Above all things, Right. I was just having a conversation with these couple of young guys yesterday, and it's like, we come to Christ and we ask him and accept him to be our Lord and Savior. And it's so easy. It seems so cliche, and we hear over and over in our Christian walk, like it's we grab onto that Savior part and we neglect that Lord part. Like, if you really think about what is it to be and to put someone as Lord of your life. And I think one of the things we have that's, we in America, we don't have kings, right? We don't have lords, so it's a little bit harder of a concept, but that's why I love watching these older movies and even like Lord of the Rings, when the people willingly decide to submit and to give themselves over to a lord, if you will, right? Like, you're saying, I'm allowing you to call the shots. Like, I'm stepping into your kingdom. You're gonna be, I'm stepping down off my throne and you're on the throne. And in that moment, like, you now no longer have a choice. Like, if they say, put on this armor and go fight that battle, you're putting on that armor and you're fighting that battle. If they say, put on that clothing and make some funny jokes for me, that's what you're doing. If they say take a leave of absence, you're taking a leave of whatever they say to do, you're now at their will and their disposal to do. That's what we're supposed to do with God. And the great thing about it is he's a good Lord, right? He's gonna direct you not just for selfish purposes and desires, but he's gonna care for you and put you one where he created you, what he created you for. And also that's going to be the greatest fulfillment of your life, and it's going to fulfill the greatest needs of your life, because created you for a purpose, and to be in that purpose he created you for, what better place to be? So seek ye first the kingdom above all else, and live righteously, right? Like, live, focus on that character. So even as we don't know, what's God calling me to? What is that area he's pointing me to? If you don't know, that's okay. That's, you sit and you work on living that righteous life. Like, you're in that kingdom. I'm gonna work on my character. I'm gonna love. God is love. Like, we're to love well. We're gonna give privately and selflessly. We're gonna pray in private and earnestly. We're gonna fast with sincerity and privately. Like, we're gonna seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and love our neighbors and love ourselves. And as we do that, and he will establish our steps. Like, he will guide us and when we're ready and these points, and as we seek his kingdom, and he'll put us exactly where we need to be. And if we're aligned with the Lord, that place we need to be, it will also be a place we want to be, versus a place of, right, that mentality. I'm scared where God's gonna put me because I don't know if it matches my desires. Yeah, I mean, that's in our natural state. On my own, one of the scariest things in my life is what's God gonna want from me? Because it's going to be against what I truly want for myself in my flesh, in my kingdom, right? So I constantly have to dethrone myself, and focus my eyes on him to get to a place to say, you're right. That my throne, my way leads to destruction. I've been there, done it, repeated it enough and enough and enough. Now I need to, yeah. But whenever I throne you, God, you lead me to these challenging places that meet my needs. Yet I also find they're the most satisfying and fulfilling things in my life. Even the hard things that you call me to become the most fulfilling and satisfying things in my life. So starting to learn to also want the things that I need rather than want the things that I want for, that I have there. So seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And thank God he doesn't give us everything we want, right? Because that would lead us to a place of destruction. So with that said, I got 6:35. I'm going to close this out. Great scripture. Pray that we continue to reflect on that today and that God would be with us. So I'm going to close this out. Father God, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your recorded word. And thank you for giving us this sermon and that it got passed down through generations and preserved through your holy word, Lord, and that it speaks to us today just as relevant as it was 2,000 years ago. Thank you for sending your spirit to come down and to enlighten us and to help us and to convict us and to strengthen us and to comfort us. So thank you for sending that helper down with us to help us digest this, and not just digest it, but to actually live it out, that we can walk in the spirit, that we've gone from death to life, that we don't have to be like the unbelievers, constantly consumed with worry and what am I going to eat? What am I going to dress? How am I going to pay the bills? Like, we can stop and remember, I have a heavenly Father, King of the universe, my papa, my daddy, who's going to take care of my needs. He may let me struggle a little bit because there's purpose in it, and there's things he wants to work in my life, and he wants me to grow from immaturity to maturity. He wants me to grow from little faith to much faith. He wants me to grow from little love to much love, right? From no patience to a lot of patience. And to get there, it's going to take struggle. And he's going to allow that struggle to happen because ultimately that's what I need. That's what I need. And God's going to provide all the needs that I need all the way through. And I'm going to seek him first. And help me, Lord, help me realign my will with yours. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your patience and your grace and your kindness. Let your face shine upon us. And we love you, Jesus. Amen. All right, guys. Have a great day. It was awesome. Great seeing you. God bless.